Welcome to the Radiant Springs Church Podcast. Check out our website at radiantsprings.com for more information about us. If you are challenged with what you hear on this podcast, come join us on Sunday mornings at 10 o'clock for our contemporary worship, message, fellowship, and coffee. Radiant Springs. Refreshing, relevant, real.
So, we are going to be closing out 2015 and starting 2016, right? So when we meet next Sunday, it will be January 3rd, 2016. You're all going to have to get used to writing that on your checks, right? I don't know if you use the debit card and all that, I guess it doesn't affect you much, right? How has 2015 been for you? I read in the paper this morning that the survey says that 2015 was worse than 2014. Now, you know, what do they use to judge that? Well, maybe some of the events that took place in our world. It was a pretty traumatic year. A lot of violence, a lot of turmoil, whether it was natural disasters or ISIS killing people and terrorist threats and plots. Yeah, one could make a case that it wasn't the best year. I don't know what your year was like. Maybe it was a terrible year. But maybe it was a good year. What do we use to evaluate what a good year was and what a good year wasn't? I remember, what was it, 2012? Was it 2012? Yeah, that was not the best year. It started off kind of just, back surgery, death of a loved one, just a surgery for Mark. Yeah, it was just kind of a January, just, man, just 2012 hit us really hard. What do you use to judge whether a year was good or bad? So we're going to look at some of that, and I hope that Paul can help us out here as we turn to God's Word. So I want us to begin in chapter 3, verse 10. In this first part, he talks about putting no confidence in the flesh. Paul had a lot of bragging rights, but he realized, you know what? Nothing compared to knowing Christ. And he thought all that stuff was important until he met Christ and realized all the things that he was pursuing were nothing. Okay, and he actually says refuse. Okay, rubbish, garbage compared to knowing Christ. And so verse 10 says, I want to know Christ. He goes, this is what's most important to me. And the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings. Paul says he's not wanting to run from suffering. He wants to be like Christ so much so that he wants to even share in Christ's suffering. Becoming like him in his death and so somehow to attain to the resurrection of the dead. Now, I have not already obtained all this or have already been made perfect. But I press on to take hold of that for which Christ took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind, straining towards what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Father, we thank you for your word. I pray you to take it and apply it to our heart and to our life today. In the name of Jesus we ask, amen. I want us to look at verses 10 and 11 to begin with here today, and that's where our first point comes, and you can follow along in your programs there. Chapter 3 is fairly reflective, and usually when we're looking back over our year, right, it's reflective, right? We're kind of evaluating the year and what the things that have taken place. And when Paul writes Philippians, he's looking back over his life. He's writing words, but it's upon the canvas of his life, of his experiences. That is greatly affecting what he writes. All right, and so he's writing these things down, and the first thing that I think we pick up here is in verse 10. Paul says, "I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection." What was Paul about? What did he want to accomplish in life? Verse 10. What did he want to accomplish? I want to know Christ, right? And he doesn't stop there. He goes and says, I want to know Christ, and this is how I want to know Christ. I want to know the power of his resurrection in my life. So it's not like just, hey, I want to know Christ. I want to ask him into my heart and my life, but I want to know his power flowing through me. The power that raised Christ from the dead. I want his resurrection power flowing through me as I minister to other people. It's not good for me just to say, hey, I know Christ. But I want to know him at such a level that his power is evident in my life. And that was true of Paul. If you read through the book of Acts, you'll see that God flowed through him in miraculous and supernatural ways. But he even says, I want to know and fellowship with his suffering. I want to know Christ so well that I, like him, face suffering and hardship for declaring the name of God and the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, I know a lot of people that want to know Christ, but how many want to know Christ at that level? It's pretty... But Paul puts some qualifications on his goal. The first thing that I see that we need to determine our goals. That's in your program there. We need to determine our goals. For Paul, he had a definite goal. He says, I want to know Christ. Now, I don't know if he started off with that, but at this stage in life, that was his goal in life. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection. Now, we also know that he had one other goal, and that was given to him by God. After he has this dramatic conversion, he was off to Damascus to persecute Christians. He was very zealous for what he thought was right, and God confronts him on the road, knocks him off his donkey, blinds his eyes, and he has an encounter face to face with Jesus. And his life does a 180. He is converted. He now dedicates his life to following Christ, to know Christ, but also in that, God gives him the commission. He says, I want you to be a light to the Gentiles. So Paul would go through about 11 years of preparing for ministry. And then he would go on his missionary journeys. And he would go first to the synagogues, to the Jewish people, because he felt an obligation to share Christ with them. And when they kicked him out of the synagogue, had enough of what Paul had to say, then he went to the Gentiles and shared Christ with them. But he became a light to the Gentiles. And you see, like Ephesus and Corinth, they were very strong Gentile communities. Paul reached both, though, Jew and Gentile. But he had definite goals for his life. He took time to define those and determine what his goals were. Now, that takes work, doesn't it, to create a goal? Now, some people, it comes more natural. Some of you just, boom, I know what I want to do. And for others of us, it takes a little more work to say, hey, what do I want to do with my life? What do I want to accomplish? And as a Christian, we want to not only say, hey, what do I want to do? But what does God want to accomplish through me? What is God's heartbeat that he wants to accomplish? What is his purpose for my life? What are some goals that I want to nail down? Now, some of us don't like to set goals because we feel bad when we don't reach them, right? You ever been there, right? What's the use? Sometimes they're not realistic. We don't have any way to measure our progress. But I do know that if we don't have goals, we just kind of run around aimlessly, right? Like a chicken with its head cut off. You know what? Whether you have goals or not, you're running, right? It's just that if you have a goal, you're running towards something. You're using the same amount of energy running. It's just, if you have a goal, you're using that energy towards something, right? You're using it towards something. Now, what helps with the goal thing is to set SMART goals. And I've shared this before, but I think it's just a good thing that I picked up along the way. And Chris is going to put those out. A SMART goal, it's an acronym, okay? If you don't know this, it'd be good just to write it down. It's in your program there. First of all, SMART goal is specific. Paul says, I just don't want to know Christ, but I want to know Christ in certain ways. I want to fellowship in his suffering, and I want to see his power at work in my life. So it's a little more specific than just saying, hey, I want to know Christ. Because if you say, I just want to know Christ, it means, hey, I want to... You could take that to mean that I just want to invite Christ in my life and know his forgiveness and redemption. Okay? That's pretty generic. And that is one of the reasons why our resolutions or our goals don't work is because they're too generic. We haven't taken time to make them specific. I want to lose weight. Okay? Well, how much weight do you want to lose? I mean, if you just lost weight, before long, you're going to be nothing, right? Right? If you just keep on losing weight... What specifically? Well, what's your healthy range? How much weight do you need to be in your healthy range? Put that on paper. Was it 10, 20, 30, whatever. But be very specific about it, because then it leads to the second one, which is measurable. Then you can measure where you're at. Okay, if you have a goal but you can't measure if you're on track or not on track, then what good is that going to do? The volleyball team for Nebraska won the Final Four, right? Okay, all right. We got a volleyball fan back there. All right. What was their goal going into the year? What? Somebody said it. What was it? Get to Omaha, right? Why? Omaha's just 45 minutes away. Why did they want to get to Omaha? Because they knew that's where the Final Four was. So going into the year, they talked about it as a team, and they said, our goal is to get to the Final Four. We want to get to Omaha. Now, that means that they didn't have to have a perfect record, right? But it means that they had to win enough games to put themselves in the playoff in a good position, win those games to get themselves to Omaha. All right? So, but they had a way to measure their progress, right? And evaluate. We need to, the goals that we set, we have to be able to measure our progress, okay? So if our goal is to lose weight, how do we measure our progress? Yeah, stand on that thing and see, man, that thing is lying to me again, right? All right? I have to go to Walmart and get a new one, right? Or sometimes it's just the way things fit, right? Man, those jeans shrunk on me again, right? All right. You have to have a way to measure it, okay? If I'm in sales and I'm in business and I sell cars, you know, if my goal, I have to have a goal. How am I going to measure it? Well, if my goal is to sell 100 cars that month, and I can evaluate as I go through that month, you know, where am I at? You measure it, okay? A good goal is you're able to evaluate and measure it. Attainable. Okay, the girls' volleyball team. You know, Coach Cook could have said, hey, our goal this year is to go to Omaha. How much of that depends upon him? Half of it? I would even say maybe 10%, 20%. Why? Because he can't get out on the floor. He can give the vision. He can give the leadership. He can prepare them. So definitely some of it rests in his plate. But he can't get out there and dig, right? He can't do that. Who's doing that? The girls. So a lot of the goals we set, some of them totally rest within our control. But some of the goals have to be attained through other people. And when you set a goal, you have to determine how much of it is in my control and how much of it is not. Okay? How much is it dependent upon the economy? How much of it is dependent upon other variables that are out of my control? What's in my control? Attainable. You have to measure that in, because sometimes we set goals, but there's other factors involved that are out of our control. What if that happens? Right? You can't control that. Okay? Attainable. Realistic. Oh, man. You know, I'm a salesperson, and my track record is I've sold 10 cars a month over the last average, you know, over the last 5 years. But man, I feel real motivated this month, okay? I'm going to sell 100 cars. Wow. Is that realistic? Probably not. Probably even 20 would be a jump. Maybe 15 would be a good, okay? To up it a little bit, but to sell 10 times more than you have in the past would be too much, right? That's not realistic. And often we're not very realistic in our goals. We set these goals and we think, man, we get motivated and it's like we're going to conquer the world. We're the Rocky, Eye of the Tiger, and we're going to just take it all on, right? And we set too big of goals and we set ourselves up for failure. Make sure they're realistic. T stands for tangible. Is it something that can be realized, touched, reality in a certain period of time? Okay, we're working on the chairs. Okay, hopefully that's a tangible goal that we can reach here in the near future. If it's 10 years from now and we haven't reached that goal, it's not very tangible. Okay? All right, it's something we want to be able to realize within a certain period of time, whatever that may be, whether it's days, months, year, or years. Okay? Maybe you want to graduate, get that master's degree or your BA degree. Okay? That's a little more of a long-term goal. It's going to take not just a day or two or a month. It's going to take some years, okay? And it's going to take a lot of hard work and effort. But that is something that is realistic, probably, and it's probably tangible, but it's going to take several years to get there. All right? It's tangible. So, it's an easy way to remember. So, on that goal planning sheet, you can write out some goals. You can sit down as a family or as a person. Okay, if you're a married couple, it's good to sit down with your spouse. Okay, if it's just you and God, sit down and have a conversation, a prayer. But when you make goals, kind of put them through this grid and say, is this specific enough? Is it measurable? Is it something attainable? Is it realistic? Is it tangible? It's going to help you be a little more effective in reaching your goals. And what they have researched has shown that when people take time to write out their goals, guess what? They usually meet them. There is a high percentage that you're going to reach your goal when you write it out. There's something powerful about that. If we don't have goals, it's like being on a lake, okay, a sailboat on a lake, all right? And without goals, you don't have a sail, you don't have a rudder, you're just floating, right? And where are you going to end up? Who knows? It's going to be dependent on where the wind's blowing, right? The storms, the wind. You're going to end up whatever life throws at you. And often we go through life like that. Because if we don't have goals, it's kind of like, well, this happens in life, so I get over here. And then this happens, and then I end up over here, and then this happens. And I am a product of the circumstances and the things that life brings my way. Now, if I have a goal, I can still get blown off course, right? Because the wind can blow pretty hard, storms can come up, and they can blow you off course. But if you have a goal, you can always get back on course, right? Say, oh, where am I at? Man, I got blown way over here. Okay, this is where I need to be. So then I come back. All right? You're going someplace, though. It doesn't mean you're you can have goals and all of a sudden life happens. Man, you have a health event that happens in your life. And it's kind of like, well, you know what? I'm not going to get it done in the time frame. I'm going to have to adjust it a little bit. But you know what? At least you're going in the right direction. Okay? All right. Paul was a driven man, and he had goals. And he doesn't write all those goals out, but we do have some of these main goals that he says, I want to know Christ. And he wanted to fulfill God's mission for him to be a light to the Gentiles. And he even in 2 Timothy, which is what we believe is his last letter that he would write, he says, I've run the race that God has marked out for me. And I finished it. And I finished it well. I've done it with all my heart and with all my ability. Now there is a treasure waiting for me up in heaven, a crown of life. And Paul's pretty excited about that because he had finished the race that God had marked out for him. All right, second point. Paul says, I haven't obtained all my goals. I haven't accomplished all this. Or have I been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ took hold of me. And brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do. But this is the one thing that I do. So, secondly, is Paul took time to evaluate and learn from his past. All right? He's evaluating. He goes, I haven't already attained it. How does he know that? Because he's evaluating things. He's looking at life. Where am I at? Where do I want to be? And so you have to learn from your past. That's the second principle. And the end of the year is a good time to do that, isn't it? I mean, it just kind of happens naturally. Now, depending on who you are and whatever, you might want to have other times that you evaluate things. If you're in some sort of business or you have a company, you might have to do that quarterly or monthly. You want to know where you're at. But at least at the end of the year is a good time to just really evaluate. What's happened this year? How am I doing with some of the dreams and the plans that God has placed within my heart? Am I staying on track or have I kind of drifted off course? What steps do I need to take to get back on course? What do I need to make some adjustments? Maybe my goal wasn't very realistic. Maybe I was off on that. Maybe I need to fine-tune it a little bit. But learn from your past. Now, yeah, learn from your mistakes. That's what I was going to say. Paul realized he hadn't arrived, but he wanted to learn from it. If you watched the Iowa game that Nebraska was in towards the end of the season, Tarmy Armstrong probably had one of his worst games in his career, right? And, you know, the newspapers, the media wasn't very kind to him. And rightfully so. He just, he didn't have a very good game. There's no way to sugarcoat it, right? He had a terrible game. He tried to probably do too much. He's a very talented athlete, but he probably tried to make too much happen. And because of that, they lost the game. And so he came out and says, "Hey, treat me like a freshman. I need to learn some of these things. You're assuming that maybe I know how to make some good judgments. Let's go back to square one. Teach me what you know." And, you know, that's a good attitude that we all need to have, is to really evaluate where we're at. Sometimes we think we're up here when we're not up there. And when we get to the place where we can't be coached, where we can't learn from life, that's a dangerous place, right? The Proverbs says that pride goes before a fall. And so we have to keep that humble spirit. And so he came out this last game, had one of his better games that he's had in his career. But even more so, Nebraska had one of the better games that they probably had all year. That is probably the key. Sometimes it's not always about us. It's about the team, right? Evaluate. Learn from the past. History, if there's one thing that we can learn from history, is that we don't learn from history. Right? Right? I mean, we look at history and we say, oh, that'll never happen again. We're not going to allow those things to happen again. But you know what? Usually they do. History repeats itself. Now, history should be one of the better teachers that we have. We should be able to look at history and not make some of those mistakes again throughout history. But we haven't. We haven't. We tend to fall back into those same patterns. We need to be different. We need to learn from our past, from mistakes, from success, build on it, and learn and grow and become better. That is what Paul says. Paul says, you know what, I've made my mistakes. And you read through the book of Acts, and you realize Paul didn't do everything perfectly. But he was doing what God had called him to do. He learned, he grew, and he became better through it. Thirdly, Paul says, he evaluates himself, but then he says, I forget what is behind. I forget what I was behind. You have to sometimes forget the past, don't you? And you may think that Paul is just referring to failures and mistakes. He probably is. But I think he's also referring to success. And I think sometimes success can be a worse enemy to us than sometimes failure. Why? We reach that point of life, and we reach success, and what happens? Woo! It's like Nebraska. They got was it 18 or 16 points ahead last night? It's kind of like, oh, then their defense got conservative. Yeah, we're going to relax. We got the game won. Maybe not. But we get lax when success is very, very deceitful in some way. And so, but whether success or failure, we have to learn. We learn from it, and then we have to put it behind us and move on to what God has called us to. Now, I'm going to refer to the game again. But second quarter, right? Tommy Armstrong's going in, about ready to score a touchdown, would tie up the game, and what happens? Gets face masked, ball goes, and UCLA goes down. Scores a touchdown, now they're two ahead, right? And it's kind of like, the game's done, might as well turn it off and go to bed. How many did that? She did. All right. Well, to Tarmy Armstrong's credit and the team's credit, they fought back, and by halftime, the score was tied at 21-21. And then they went on to the third and fourth quarter and did quite well. You have to be able to, if you're going to be a good athlete, if you're going to be good in life, you have to learn to put the past behind you, whether it's mistakes, failures, or success. You learn from it, you grow through your past, but you have to move on from there. You cannot live in the past. You have to put it behind you. the fourth one. Paul says, I forget what is behind and I strain towards what is ahead. I press on towards the prize, the goal to win the prize for which God called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. You know, it's easy to become distracted in life, isn't it? We can have goals, we can have dreams. Paul had his commission to be a light to the Gentiles. I want to know Christ. But there was a lot of distractions along the way, whether it was the persecution he faced. He was going into some pretty heathen communities, Corinth, Ephesus, a lot of sin. He could have easily been tempted to stray away from God and be sucked into that. He did have some success. He could have easily gotten to a place where he says, I've started a lot of churches. The church is doing well. I'm just going to go and find my retirement village off on the Aegean Sea and relax, kick up my feet. And, you know, this prison thing, I don't think I'm going to avoid that. He had the option to avoid prison, folks. He finishes up his third missionary journey, and he's going back to Jerusalem. He's warned by the prophet. He says, if you go back there, it's only imprisonment and hardship. But Paul realized that God had a plan and a purpose for that. Instead of running from it, he submitted to God's will for his life. Paul stayed focused on what God had called him to. And that's sometimes hard because we can easily be distracted by just life, the events of life. If you have a family, there's plenty of distractions there, right? There's drama. There's, you know, that's running to the emergency room or events that happen in life. It's easy to lose sight of what our goals are, what God has called us to. And it takes an intentional effort to stay focused on the goals that are marked out for us. To not give up, to not lose sight, but to power through those and to be faithful. And so the last one is to stay focused on our goals. As 2015 wraps up and the new year begins, I encourage you to set some time aside to be alone with God. If you're a married couple, find your spouse, make it a date night, and dream with God. Dream with God. What is God calling you towards? What is God wanting to accomplish in your life, through your marriage, through your family? Evaluate the past year. What went well? What didn't go so well? What do you sense God leading and directing in your own life right now? Is there some things you need to adjust? I like to hunt and fish. In the summer, I especially like to fish. I like to fish for walleyes, and probably my favorite fish is the walleye. And when we fish for those, you fish up like on the Missouri River. And they have this neat new invention that was happened, I don't know, probably 20, 30 years ago. It's called the electric trolling motor, all right? And, you know, back 10, 15 years ago, they put a neat feature on them called autopilot, right? So you get that motor pointed in the right direction, and you just hit autopilot, boop, like that, and it just gets you going in that direction. You just fish, you know, don't have to worry about anything. Until the wind blows, or until the coastline changes and you have to adjust it a little bit. Or the fish move deeper, shallower, you have to adjust. Or you get below the tail race at one of the dams and you're down in this hole and it can't get satellite connection, and so you just go zzzz. But it's a good feature that I like, but it's not perfect. And many times in life, we want to push that autopilot button, and we forget about it. I push the button, that's where I'm headed, and off we go. But it's not like that, because the wind blows. Things happen in our family that change. Health issues come along. The economy goes up or it goes down, and things happen. And so the autopilot's good, but you still have to make adjustments along the way. You still have to evaluate where you're at. And what is what I'm doing working? You know? If I'm out there fishing, and I think I'm at the right depth, but I'm not catching any fish. Well, sometimes those fish do weird things. Sometimes they move real shallow on you. Or sometimes they go real deep on you, and you have to go where they're at. Because if they're not there, you have to change. Otherwise, you're going to go home with no fish, right? You have to adjust. We have to do that in life as well. Our goal is to catch fish. You have to adjust until you catch them. Our goal is to pursue God's plans and purposes for our life. It means, yeah, we have these goals, but how are we going to get there? How are we going to adjust and evaluate and learn? Amen? You know, and at times, we're like the boat with autopilot and we're stuck down below the dam and no satellite signal, so we just spin. You ever been in that? You're just going in circles because we've lost touch with God. And those are the times where we need to really press in and say, God, I need to hear from you again. I just don't want to be going through life with my plans, my goals, my purposes, or feel like I'm going in circles. I need to know your heart. And when we reestablish connection, all of a sudden, whoop, now we're locked in again. But we have to establish that connection. Amen? I want to close with a song called Oceans. You guys know that. Would you stand with me this morning? Gil and Emily will be back at that corner. And Josh, Karen, if you're able to join them, they'll be back at this corner. And they'll be praying. If you have a need or request, they'll be there to pray with you. But as we sing this chorus, would you just allow God to take what is said this morning? I believe Paul's pouring out his heart. He's being very transparent with us. You know, Paul could have said, you know what, I'm the super apostle. Man, all the goals that God gave me, I've accomplished, man. It's only been success, right? Paul says, no. I've had bumps and bruises. I haven't attained all that God has for me. But I'm pressing on. Forgetting what is behind. I'm pressing on towards what God has for my life. What does God have planned for your life? Determine those goals. Evaluate. Stay focused on it. Amen. You and God. And there's no templates that we can take. We can take Paul's principles. But see, even for our own lives, you know, if you're in high school or college, your dreams and goals are going to look much different than if you're in your 20s, early 20s, and starting a new family. And those dreams are going to look much different from somebody that's in their 40s and the kids are leaving the house and you're looking at the empty nest and your parents are starting to pass away. And that looks much different from getting into retirement. And now you've taken a break from your secular work. Looks different. And I just say, you know, if you're retired, I don't know if we ever retired from God's plans and purposes. We can retire from our secular work, but I still feel that God, till the day we die, God has plans and purposes for our life. Amen? Father, this morning I pray you go with your people. Lord, may your blessing be with us. And as we close out 2:15, I just pray that you would help us to learn and evaluate where we have been so that we can have an idea for where you're leading and taking us as we go into 2016. Whether it was difficult or a great year, there's always something to be learned. And none of that is a waste of time, because if we learn from our successes, from our failures, from all that had happened, we become stronger, we become better. So, Lord, make us wiser as we go into 2016. Let your Spirit be upon us. Guide and direct us. Draw us closer to you. May our prayer be like Paul's, that we want to know Christ and to know Him at a greater level in our own lives. Go with us this week. We give you the thanks and the praise. In the name of Jesus we ask. And everybody said, amen. Next week, January 3rd, we're going to be talking about prayer, kicking off our week of prayer. Hope you can join us, and God bless you.